Let the church say amen. God is good once again. And all the time, God is good. You know, it's when you look at this time of the year, we should all be realize that it is the time of the year when the weather is going to get cold. It's going to be snowy and blustery some days. It's going to be wet some days. But nevertheless, it always catches us by surprise. But we should be ever thankful that God has blessed us to have our legs, our feet, and our knees be down below our bodies, that we may still come out to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. God, as I said, is always good. This morning, we're going to take our lesson from John 6, verse number 37. And it kind of goes along with what we were studying in the Bible school a little bit. So if you wasn't here, you missed something this morning. As always, we have a lively and spirited Bible class. Brother Jackson does a fine job, and all of those who participate in the class, you should get something out of it. If you don't get but one thing, just like with this message this morning, if you get just one thing, then the job has been done. So let us remember to just prayerfully ask God to be with us this morning. Now let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, You have blessed us. You have given us this opportunity that we may come out to serve Thee once again in spirit and in truth. We thank You this morning, O Heavenly Father, for all You have done for us this past week. You have brought us from last Lord's Day up to this Lord's Day, and we thank You, O Lord. We understand and we know that there are many who are sick who were with us last week who may not be with us this week either because of illness, some because of the weather, and others because of their own reasonings. But we continue to pray for them. We pray for those who might be traveling that they may have safe passage to and from their destination. We pray for the leaders of this congregation as they strive to do that which is the work of the Lord. And we pray for them and their families that they may continue to be strong. We pray for those brethren who have taken part thus far in the services this morning, and we continue to pray for them and their families as well. And we want to pray and thank You, Father, for all of those who, even though they may not have had a part in the services, in these services thus far, they may become a part of the services as we move along. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every person in the audience this morning. And we especially like to thank those who are not feeling their best, but nevertheless, they still came out. We thank You this morning and pray for those who have lost loved ones and pray that their sadness may not be long, but that it should soon end and that they shall understand that what thus saith the Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for our food, our shelter, and our clothing. Thank You, Lord, for those who are without those same things, and we pray that they will be receive those things which are necessary to sustain them in this life. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for this church which was brought to us by Your Son, Jesus Christ, who said, upon this rock I will build My church. And we thank You for His church, O Heavenly Father. We thank You that He died on the cross, that we may have an opportunity to the tree of life. We pray and thank You this morning, Father, for parents, husbands, and wives everywhere, especially those who are living up to Thy name. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who serve our every need and our every want when we have our wants and our needs, O Heavenly Father. We thank You for everybody and everything, O Lord, especially those who are trying to do Your will. We pray for the churches everywhere, O Lord, that they may continue to hold up the bloodstained banner. Thank You for everything. Now, my Heavenly Father, it is in Your Son Jesus' name, who one who went to yonder's cross, that we pray and ask for all of these and many other blessings. Let us all say, amen. Good to see you, Brother Paul. When Jesus was on this earth, there were many things that were accomplished, and still men did not believe in Him. There were many things that we have read about in the Word of God and many things that are still new to us and a mystery to us. And those things that are mysteries to us, we will soon one day understand. Let us hope and pray that we can get to heaven, that we may ask questions if we need to. This morning when we come to Jesus from John 6:37, and the Bible says in verse 6 and verse number 37, the Bible says, "All that the Father has given, the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." As Christians, we know of Jesus. We study about Him, we sing about Him, and we hear Him preached about. But do we know what we can expect when we come to Him? We certainly won't have time today to tell you all of the things about Jesus, but just for a few minutes, we can cover a few things or a couple of things. First of all, we know that He will never leave nor forsake us, according to Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. It is written in the Word of God that we know how that He died on the cross for us, according to John 19 and verse number 30. Certainly we know He was resurrected according to Matthew 28. And finally, we know He is our hope. These things we shall talk about today are also what we can find when we come to Him. So let's study our lesson for today, if you will. When one decides to come to Jesus, he has made a life-altering decision. He has made a decision to give up his old life and start a new life in Jesus Christ. You know, and we can never talk enough about coming to Jesus Christ. This is one of the main purposes of coming to church each and every Sunday, so we can learn more about the Word of God. When we come to Jesus, we can expect, we can find security with Jesus. If you look at the text that I just read for your hearing in John 6 and 37, you'll find that those who come to Jesus, He welcomes all who comes to Him. He said in verse number 6 and verse 37 there once again, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." But when you move back up one verse up to 36, look what verse 36 said. He said, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believeth not, or believe not." But some today still, even though they haven't seen Him, they've read about His feats and all of the wonderful things that He has done, but they still will not believe on Him. Today we can only hear of Him through the Word of God. And with all the wondrous works and miracles, many still will not accept Him. So you have to ask the question of yourself, what will it take for men to come to Jesus Christ? Well, do you remember what the psalmist said in verse 60, in chapter 66 and verse number 20? He said, "Blessed be God which has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." Jesus will not let us go. But then there comes a time when sometimes we decide that we want to let go through our disbelief. We are also warned that there are those who will not hear the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And then in verse 4, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Now, don't think for 1 minute that these things don't occur in today's times. All it takes is one person whose mind has become corrupted. That's when they start to stir up the minds of others. And we mentioned that in class this morning. We spoke about how the book spoke about how that we can learn to stick together and have that families can stick together and uplift and encourage one another. When these folk get in our midst, they no longer want to hear the truth because it doesn't sound right to them anymore. It used to sound good and right to them, but now it doesn't sound right to them anymore. And when that old-time religion will not move people anymore, sound doctrine is preaching Jesus, Him crucified, Him buried, and Him raised up again. This is what Jesus is saying in our text. If we continue to believe and follow Him, He will not cast us out. Look at the verse again, "And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That's security. That's security. When you get security like that, what else do we need? When we get security that, you know, I remember the old commercial. Do you remember when the man would come on television and he would say something that you're in good hands with Allstate? And you just have one accident in your automobile, or one fire at your house, or one claim, and those hands tended to open up and drop you like a hot rock. But God is not like that. He's saying that if I will never, those that the Father gave me, I will never cast them out. That's security. I will never cast them out. And then in verse number 38, look at verse number 38. "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." You know, our will is not our will, but our will ought to be that of the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, of whom we follow. You know, and I know that life does not always make it easy for us to follow Christ. Life can be daunting, a daunting task for us to follow Christ. We sometimes like to go by the things that look good, sound good, and even feel good to us. The Bible is not meant to feel good to you. It's meant to feel good for you. It's meant to give you a feeling of joy and security and blessings and hope. It's not meant to be something that you just take lightly. You know, there's a part in a marriage ceremony where the preacher says that this is not meant to be taken lightly. And so you ask yourself the question, if you don't take marriage lightly, why would you take Jesus Christ lightly? We should be trying to do the will of God that we may receive His promises. Those who come to Jesus can find that security. They can find that inner peace. They can find that safety zone, if you will. So what can we find in that safety zone? We can find safety and security from sin. We can find safety and security from the world. We can find safety and security from those who would corrupt us. You know, and last week we talked about the devil being a deceiver. He's still working. He didn't stop because we spoke about him last week. He's still working. He's still out there, and he's still trying to get your mind and your heart and your soul away from the Lord. So be careful. Number two, when you come to Jesus, or those who come to Jesus will receive rest. They can find rest. In the verses of Matthew chapter 11, starting around verse number 25, we find Jesus offering up thanksgiving to His and our Father. But as always, He did not forget man, for His promises is that He will give us rest to weary souls. Rest from the clutches of sin. Rest from sin's power to rule over our bodies and soul. In Matthew chapter 11 in verse number 28, notice what the Bible says. This is His invitation. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." First, the Lord Jesus Christ issues the invitation. Then He lets us know just what His promise is. Rest. And only He can give rest. And then in verse number 29, He tells us that how we can receive His promise. That is all we need to do, all we need to do is follow His instruction. And somebody said, "Well, can you just explain to me, preacher, if you will, let me explain to me what a yoke is." A yoke is a device used to put things together. Metaphorically speaking, it's the followers of Jesus. It is used to teach submission to Jesus' will. In Matthew 11, in verse number 28, the Bible says that He wants us to come to Him for this rest. You know, and it's not talking about the kind of rest that after you worked all week long, you can lay down and rest from your burden. That's not the kind of rest He's talking about. He's talking about rest, Christian style. Rest that you may rest from your weary job of following the Lord and rest from your weary job of fighting off Satan. So then Jesus says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." And then finally that promise, "You shall find rest for your, unto your soul." Just how easy is it to follow Jesus? We find out in verse 30. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's nothing to fear in following Jesus. Sure, if one is not used to following the Lord, their life will be changed. And it should be. You know, when you become a Christian, you have to ask yourself the question, what am I willing to give up to follow Jesus? And you have to be able to answer that question within your own heart and within your own mind. You have to say to yourself, now we spoke about it once again in Bible class this morning. Paul that said that he gave up all his gain, gave up gain. He would count it all as loss except to be with Christ, to follow Christ. There is nothing to fear following Jesus. If one is not used to following the Lord, yes, their life would be changed, but it will be for the better. When you love the Lord, you begin to realize that there is hope of heaven one day, that your new life and ways become easier. Paul referred to it as our light affliction in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. When we put things in their proper places, heaven is much better than a few earthly afflictions. Those who come to Jesus will find that heaven is a much greater promise than that of the promises that man can give you. Now, when you get a promise from man, as I have explained this to you before, I can promise you a lot of things, but I can't always deliver on my promises. But I've never known Jesus to make a promise in the Bible that we didn't see being fulfilled or that's not going to be fulfilled. When I make a promise to you, I'm counting on my ways, and my ways are the ways of that of a man. I'm a human being, and I have to ask myself, did you overpromise something? See, when you make a promise, you're telling a person that my word is as good as what I'm promising you. My promise is as good as my word. And if you can't fulfill that promise that you made to someone, you're going to have a person mad at you, perhaps. Then there are those who say, well, if I promise something to somebody, I'm going to do my best to try to make that promise a reality. And you can try sometimes so hard that you can't fulfill that reality, that promise, and the reality actually becomes that I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So when you think about these afflictions that we suffer down here, they're nothing compared to what we can look forward and hope of receiving. What we go through on earth is far outweighed by the prospects of heaven in our future. You know, and I just think sometimes to myself, you know, there's a song that we used to sing sometime, "How Beautiful Heaven Must Be." And I think to myself, when you sing that song, do you really mean it when you sing the words of that song, "How Beautiful Heaven Must Be"? And I've compared that before when I've been sitting, and many of you probably have done the same thing, when you've been sitting in an airplane and you're up above the clouds and you look out and you see all this blue expansion, you see and you imagine the heavens, and you say to yourself, "I'm probably as close to heaven while I'm yet living that I'll ever be." But nevertheless, you must learn to follow Jesus. You must believe on Jesus. You must believe in Jesus. Number three, to those who come to Jesus, they can find mercy and grace. Mercy and grace is something that we all stand in the need of, and Jesus has and will and can and will continue to fulfill these two items for us. Mercy is what God is rich in. It is a form of love and compassion. in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, we are invited to receive both grace and mercy. The Bible says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. When we come to Jesus, we can also come boldly. We can access that throne of grace. And when we access that throne of grace, the Bible says we must come boldly to that throne. We must come boldly to the throne of grace. This is where we can find both mercy and grace. This is where we can find both of them at the same time. And why do we need this throne, somebody may ask? Well, I'll tell you why we need this throne. Because all of us need mercy sometimes. How many times have you heard someone say to the Lord, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm feeling bad, I'm feeling tired, and I'm feeling weird, and I just feel worn out, Lord, and I just need a shot of grace and mercy. I just need your help, oh Lord. How many times have you heard that? Therefore, we need to come to this throne boldly. God supplies all of our needs, but there are times when we need a little more of His love and compassion. And I can tell you about a little bit of something about that, if you will. When we need love and compassion, the first people that are going to let you down is your family. They're not always going to be there for you. That's why it's so important to learn to love your church family. Because when family, blood family lets you down, you're going to need somebody to be there with you as you petition to God and you ask God for His mercy and His grace. When you ask God for His mercy and His grace, and I'll tell you something, we are not always going to get the answer that we're seeking right away. That's why the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Because sometimes God just does not answer you right away. We've been through this a few times because you know I like to talk about prayer. But God doesn't always answer my prayer every time I ask. And He's not going to always answer yours every time you ask. Sometimes He wants to see how truly faithful and how much trust and belief we have in Him. He's testing us, if you will. But the trying of your faith does what? Work is patience. Isn't that right, church? When you think about it, in James verses number 1 and verse number, chapter 1 and verse number 6, the Bible says, ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And then look at verse number 7. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. We must approach the Lord as though we believe and trust in Him with all of our faith. Because without faith it's impossible to please God. You know the story of how that faith can help people move mountains. You've read it before. If you got faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move this tree. You can tell this tree to be supplanted somewhere else. But you must have faith. You must have faith. And when you come to, those who come to Jesus will find troubles don't end when you come to Jesus. But you have an advocate then. But the devil is still going to be working and he's still going to try to create problems in your life. He's still going to try to create an upsetting effect in your life, if you will. You know, as many of us can attest to, it's not all the time that you ask God for something, but it's all the time that you need God for something. God will supply all of our needs. But sometimes it just seems as though, Lord, I need a little bit more. I need a little bit of something else. That's why you come to the throne boldly. You come because you need the Lord to fulfill something that you can't fulfill. And I just like the Lord's style. I like His style because He doesn't give me each and every time that I ask. He doesn't give it to me just sight unseen. And I know He sees me, but I know He wants to hear me. He wants to hear me ask it. He already knows what I need. But how many times have people said, Well, I guess I'm going to stop praying because he's not hearing me. I'm going to stop asking. Well, they didn't come to the throne boldly. They didn't put all their faith and their trust into Jesus Christ. They didn't put all of their heart into it. They didn't ask in faith. They didn't ask boldly. They didn't come to Jesus in faith with nothing wavering. Didn't James say that a man without faith is like a wind, like a wave that is a sea-driven wave with the wind tossed to and fro? You know, when Christians pray, you've got to believe what you're praying for. When you come to Jesus, you've got to believe that Jesus will be a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, I know that there are those who say today that when I first became a Christian, things were different than they are today. But you know something? Religion, that old-time religion, is still the same thing. God has not changed, but have you changed? Have you asked God to bless you and open your heart and your mind up that you can figure out better ways to reach Him, a better way to reach Him? Have you asked Him that, Lord, the things that I'm asking You for are not necessarily the things that I desire, but the things that I need? Have you asked Him for the things that you want and say, Lord, I want this, but I know that if Your will be done, You'll let me have this? But God, as I told you before, God doesn't write checks. So don't ask Him to let me win that lottery, whatever it might be today. God does not condone you doing certain things to get what you think you need. He said, I will supply all your needs. So when you think about it, we've got to approach that throne as though we believe and trust in Him with all of our faith, as I said. For we have been washed in the blood of Christ. When our times of need find us lacking, we must seek God for our help. Look at the text once again as I come to a close now. Look at the text and it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And even verse 39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Oh yes, there's going to be a raising coming in the last day. And the point is not will you be raised, but it's how you will be raised. Which way, which direction will you be raised in when that raising up day comes? And I know that we all talk and we all say that we're Christians. We all act sometimes like we're Christians, but we don't all act all the time like we're all Christian. But nevertheless, it's not so bad going down, it's the getting up part that ought to concern all of us. The getting up part is what counts in our lives. While we yet live, we've got to serve the Lord. And when we come to die, we'll look to make heaven our home. And you know something, church? I'm so glad today that God has given us all an opportunity. He has given us all an opportunity, because if He hadn't given you an opportunity, perhaps you wouldn't be here this morning, just like I wouldn't be here had He not given us His grace and His mercy and this opportunity to be here. When I think about how good, how many times and how good God has been to me, and I speak of me personally because, like I like to tell you, I know this person here. And I can speak that there was a time when the farthest thing from my mind was Jesus Christ. But I learned something while I was without Christ. I learned that there is no better place to be than in the Lord's house on a Sunday morning. I learned that there is no better person to trust and put my faith in than the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about on that cross that day, that eventful day when Christ was nailed to the cross, He hung there from noon until the 3 o'clock hour. And I remember thinking about that cross, and I remember just thinking to myself, if I had to go through this, would I be able to withstand what Christ withstood for me? And I know that I could not have withstood, because Christ was no ordinary man. He was on this earth like an ordinary man, but He was divine while He was on that cross and while He was here on this earth. And I think, Lord, if they hadn't mounted You on that cross, where would I be today? Where would I be today if it wasn't for Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy? Where would I be if You had not died on yonder's cross? Where would I be if You had not been put into the grave? And where would I be, even more importantly, if You had not came out of the grave and went back to heaven to sit on the right hand of Your Father and our Father? I just thank God today for Jesus Christ. I thank God that there are those who still have not taken the opportunity and chose Christ to be their Savior. And you know, the only shame in not coming forward is staying where you're at. If you come forward to the church and ask the church to bless you and that you want to put on Christ, we can baptize you right today. Is that right, Brother Jackson? He said yes. We can baptize you today. It might be a little cold outside, but your heart will be warmer for taking and putting on Christ. You'll be a warmer person inside. You'll feel better about yourself. Your life should change. For those who put on Christ, they can find safety, they can find rest, and they can find you can find grace and mercy. I thank God this morning for each and every one of you here. I know that the audience is sparse this morning, but nevertheless, you're here. And that's what matters in your life, the fact that you're here. And that's what ought to matter to you in your life is that of Christ in you. And if you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you are a member, but you've walked astray. And I like to kind of explain this over every time I mention it. Christian folk fall off the road sometimes. You can fall off the road. I can fall off the road. And when we fall off the road, the worst thing that you can do is not pick yourself up and put it back on the road. It's to lay down and just stay down, and that's not a good thing. So Christian folk do fall off the road. Christian folks fall sometimes. And when you fall, the best thing you can do is pick yourself up, ask the Lord to forgive you, come forward, ask the church to pray with and for you. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.